Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum's Table 40 podcast with Matt and Leslie Holiday is presented by the Sports Spectrum magazine. We're talking about faith-focused stories that you won't find anywhere else and content suitable for all ages. The magazine is a quarterly magazine. You get four issues. It comes out four times a year, and you can get a one-year subscription for just $18 or a two-year subscription for $30, and all subscriptions come with our free digital access. It's a quarterly magazine. You can subscribe today at sportsspectrum.com/magazine, sportsspectrum.com/magazine. And this is the preeminent sports and faith magazine around. If you have kids that you want to raise in the faith and they love sports, I would highly recommend the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can check it out today and order your subscription at sportsspectrum.com/magazine, sportsspectrum.com/magazine, and get your subscription today.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to Table 40. Matt and Leslie here, just the two of us tonight. And we are going to talk about the draft that happened this week, and it's been a super busy week, but we are in Baltimore, and we are excited for the next step in Jackson's career, and so I think that that's something we should talk about this week. And Leslie?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been a bit overwhelming, to be honest. Don't you think, babe?
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot. It's been a long week. It's been a lot of fun. It's been exciting. It's been a lot of drama. But at the same time, it's been a lot of fun. We're excited to be in Baltimore. We're excited for what's next. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think the thing that came to mind as I was thinking about, you know, what do we do? I mean, we've raised this little boy, and he's always loved baseball. Let's talk about that a little bit, about how Jackson has always loved baseball. I mean, how old was he when you thought, oh my goodness, this kid is in love with this?
Well, I think he's been very much about baseball ever since he was old enough to do anything. We recently got video from friends of him using a candlestick when he was 18 months old, hitting a ping pong ball off of a beer bottle at a wedding, and he had a pretty natural swing. That's all he wanted to do at this wedding was throw a ping pong ball and hit a ping pong ball. I'm not sure why the ping pong ball was there.
Why was the ping pong ball wet? Why was it there?
I'm not sure, but
I think it was because it was at a church and like
no, youth it wasn't groups. At a church.
Like yeah, it was.
The wedding was at a church. When he was hitting the ping ball, when he was, it was at the reception when he was hitting the ping
yeah,
pong.
Yeah, it was
ball.
Weird that it was there. But anyway, keep going.
Anyways, so he's always loved baseball. He's always wanted to play baseball. He was obsessed with bat and ball and pitched me and ever since we can remember. So it's exciting. It's always been his passion and for him to put all that hard work and effort into it and to be where he is today and to get a chance to embark on this adventure and to be picked first in the draft is quite an accomplishment. I mean, we talk about the talent all over our country, and you talk about all the great players and all the kids that want to play baseball and get drafted, and to be the first player drafted and to get a chance to go to a great organization like Baltimore is pretty exciting.
It is exciting. And talk to me a little bit about what it means for you. And so Jeff Passan, who's one of my favorite, would he be called an author?
No, he's
like
a writer.
A writer.
Oh, yeah, he's an author.
Author. Like,
he wrote
like
a book.
I love Jeff Passan, and I think that he did an amazing job. Out of all the articles written about our family, I couldn't even finish it, to be honest with you, because it made me cry, and I've been trying to celebrate Jack so much that I didn't want to cry and make it like mama sad and all those things, so I couldn't even finish the article that Jeff wrote. But what I did finish, it was incredible. And so
the first three
lines were amazing. But I think that let's talk a little bit about what it means for you that Jackson is a part of this fraternity of pro baseball players. Like, what does it mean? Like, as I read a couple quotes from Spilly, and mainly Spilly, because I stopped after Spilly because I couldn't even stop crying. But what does it mean that Jackson's like one of y'all, like a pro athlete coming into this fraternity of pro athletes? Like, what does it mean to you?
Well, it's hard to believe that we're old enough to have a professional
athlete. I mean, clearly we had him when we were 10. Go ahead.
No, okay. We weren't. And we're not that young. So
I know. It goes
it
fast.
It feels like we're young.
It goes fast.
It's surreal to think that he's, you know, I guess you just still view him as such a, I think sometimes, you know, it's you feel as close to the 2-year-old Jackson as you do the 18-year-old Jackson as far as timing goes. But I'm super proud of him. I think it's awesome. It's crazy to think, you know, even when we went to Lululemon tonight and we talked to the people about signing him up for the 25% discount for pro athletes, which he needs since that's all he wears. It's just, it really is crazy to think that he's embarking on this career. But at the same time, it's also fun to think about all the work that he's put in, and that this has been his goal ever since I can remember him being old enough to have goals, that he wanted to be a first-round pick, that he wanted to play in professional baseball. And it's exciting to think that it's here, and you know, it came fast. But, you know, I think it's fun. It's exciting, and we have no choice. Like there's no going back. Like, we have to embrace this, and it's exciting.
Yeah, and we're excited about Baltimore.
No, yeah, for
different
sure.
Different bird, different city.
Yeah, but I think it is tough to swallow that things are going to change a lot, and that our family dynamic has changed. And but at the same time, you know, it's all about moving forward and living in the moment and being excited for what's next for him.
That's right. And so let's talk about the day a little bit. And so draft day was pretty normal for a while. And so he wakes up. He hangs with Duke. He goes and he lifts and he hits ground balls and do whatever it is that you guys do at the field. That
takes ground balls. Doesn't hit ground balls.
No, you hit ground balls. And so I'm sitting next to you, and so I say hit ground balls. So you hit ground balls. Jackson takes ground balls. And then you throw to him in the cage and he hits whatever it is that you guys do together. And so talk to us about the morning of draft day.
It was pretty normal. He wanted to go and be busy, I think, you know, and the nervous energy, I think, of just not knowing what was going to come and what was going to happen that night. I think he wanted to be busy, and so we went and did what we always do, and spent a lot of time at the field, and then we came home and played in the pool and did the games that we play in the pool. And, you know, I think we just tried to stay busy, and then we played Golden Tee, and then some of his friends started to show up, and the excitement, you know, kind of started as people started showing up, and it started to feel like a party and a get together. And then, you know, we just kind of hung out. And then as we got closer, it was time to do some media stuff and get mic'd up. And so we did that. So I think it was an ideal situation for him to stay busy and be distracted almost of what kind of the moment was going to happen, because there was so much unknown and there was so much of, you know, not sure where he was going to end up or how it was going to go down. And apparently neither was anybody else. And so we just stayed busy and got ready for the draft. And you know, it was great to have people there and all the people that showed up and came to the party and came to celebrate with Jackson and us. And so we just kind of led it right up into the show, which, as we talked about, I think I've said a few times, other places, it was kind of crazy because the show was starting and we still had no idea what was going to happen. And I think we were just kind of resigned to the fact that the Baltimore had gone in a different direction, because, you know, we were 45 seconds to, or maybe more like 3 minutes away from the pick. And we hadn't heard anything from the agency, Jackson's agent, or the Baltimore Orioles, or anybody for that matter. So it was a bit of kind of a chaotic 15 minutes.
Yeah, and I think that we were super excited because how the process works behind the scenes is you get to meet these teams. And so we were like, okay, well, whoever Baltimore grabs, they're going to be so, it's going to be so great for them. Like, they're great. It's a great leadership. It's a great minor league system, like, great city. This is going to be awesome for whoever lands in Baltimore. And then we get the phone call from the agent and tell us what happened.
Well, essentially what happened was is the phone was cutting out and I couldn't hear what was going on, and there was people in our living room that were loud, and so I was the first little bit of the conversation I was sort of distracted and trying to guess what Scott was saying, and essentially I got what I thought was what he said out of it, and we talked about what we wanted to do and the response to the call from the Orioles and what, you know, was being said, and so I looked over at Jackson and I said, Jackson, is this, you know, kind of, does this sound good? And he said, I don't know, Dad. And then I looked at you and you were like, I don't know. And so, and talking to the agent, Scott, and his, all of his experience, I said, Scott, what do you think? And so we talked about what he thought, and we basically came back with a counter to the Baltimore Orioles, and
hope it worked.
And then we hung up and we waited about 30 seconds, and then the commissioner of the draft started walking towards the podium to make an announcement, and my phone rang, and it was Scott, and he said, Jackson's going to be the Orioles selection, congratulations. And so I knew that he was about to get picked, but there wasn't, essentially, he was about to announce it on TV. So I just let it ride. I let you guys find out organically.
Live, yes.
on the TV, and the excitement and the emotion was all very real, and no one knew what was going to happen, and so that was a lot of fun for me. You know, I only knew for 15 seconds, but to get a chance to watch everybody's reaction knowing what was going to happen was pretty exciting.
Okay, so when we look back at the pictures and we look back at the videos, tell me what you think about Jackson's reaction, and let's go Ethan's too.
Well, it fits their personality perfect. I mean, I think that when you talk about what response you would guess would come from each of them, it was pretty much spot on in knowing them. It was Jackson's sort of happy, reserved smile, and then it was Ethan's very dramatic hands on his face / hands in the air, and then Reed and Grayson. It was just a really cool,
I think,
just a snapshot of emotion of what their personalities is a symbolic version of who they are as people, the way they reacted to that. It was really cool.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So God gives us 4 kids that I'm super fired up about. Like, I don't know how that works. We'll find out when we meet Jesus face to face. Like, why did you trust us with these 4 amazing personalities? But let's talk about a parenting for like a side note. I mean, we have 4 distinct personalities that are living under our roof. And so, and you see that perfectly in moments like these where we have a snapshot of their personalities. So talk to us about the challenge it is as a father to parent all of these personalities. Because I've got to say, I mean, I brag on you all the time in private and in public, like the amazing father that you are. And so what is it like to manage 4 incredibly different personalities?
Well, it's challenging at best. it's a lot of fun. I think that they all respond differently to the different ways of parenting. But I think that's the challenge. I mean, if there was a handbook for parenting where it all worked for, I mean, it would be, I mean, that's
a bestseller.
That's
for
too
sure.
Easy. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun to navigate kids and what makes them tick and how different they all are. And, you know, it's funny. It's hard. It's you know, I think when you try to learn, it's the same thing as leadership. It's like trying to learn your audience and how they respond best to encouragement, how they respond best to discipline or constructive criticism. So I think that's the fun, challenging part of parenting is trying to figure out personalities and sort of what makes them respond the best and be the best version of themselves that you can help them be. And, you know, I mean, that's the one thing, you know, with Jackson being 18, heading in, you know, sort of this adult place, you know, you hope that you've managed it well and you've hoped that you've taught him and learned him and encouraged him and set him up and explained to him you hope that you've done enough that I don't think as parents you're ever completely 100% comfortable, I guess, with the job you did, but you know it's fun to see as they get older who they turn into as adults.
Well, and I think too, like I guess an extension of this conversation, it's like, I don't think as parents you're 100% finished parenting.
No, I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Like I think a comfort for me has come from Psalms, and it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. And I feel like that's something that we've really tried to do is like, Lord, please help us create a home and please build this house. And I think that, like, honestly, babe, I think that parenting has just begun. So I believe in the first many years of a child's life, it's the do's and don'ts, and let's keep them safe, let's keep them out of trouble. But now I believe that the parenting has just begun. Like, I think that we've gone into this mentor, like, friendship role with Jackson as he goes into what's next in his career. And I think that you're the best person for him to visit with, and maybe even me, I don't know. But I think that you're the very best person for him to visit with about, look, this is what it's going to look like. And Christ was the center of my journey as I experienced super joyful moments and moments of failure.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it looks different. You know, I mean, it's not the day in and day out and the I don't know, I guess just the difference of what it looks like is the part that, you know, to me is hard, like, as far as the change of the dynamic. I mean, I definitely think that the parenting is much, much needed, but I think it just looks so different, and it's just a different kind of parenting. It's a different kind of sort of, I don't know, I guess just the, I just am and sort of sad about the amount of time that you get when they live in your house full time, and that's their, you know, that's where they come home to every night. And so that part I'm not thrilled about, but I am excited about helping him achieve his dreams and hopefully being able to continue to help him in understanding and guiding him.
No doubt about it. And I think that that is so true in what you say. And I think that that's been the hardest thing for me, just to be completely transparent with the people that are listening to this podcast. Like, the hardest thing for me is, as we were packing for this trip in particular to go to Baltimore, knowing that we're going to part ways on Thursday, like, Jackson is going to Sarasota and we're going back to Oklahoma. And it just made me, like, literally sick to my stomach to think that, oh man, on Thursday Jackson is going to start this journey. And again, like, I went to scripture, to be completely honest with y'all, like, I went to scripture in my comfort because I was just a mess. And in Psalms, as I was reading, it says in verse 3, like, children are a gift from the Lord, they are a reward from him. Children born to a young man, which we were incredibly young when we had Jackson, are like arrows
you keep saying
in
that.
A warrior's hands. How joyful is a man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. And so as I think through, like good grief, like, Jackson has been a gift from the Lord. He is absolutely a reward from the Lord. And the goodness of God has been incredibly evident in both Matt and I's life, that we have this opportunity to have such amazing children. But they're like arrows in a warrior's hands. And I just think arrows are just absolutely not a reward or not a gift if they're not sent out. And so what does it mean to you to send out our boy into the world and, like, for the immediate time, like Sarasota, like, what do you hope for him, like, as he's sent out into the world, as his influence is being, you know, I don't know how to even say it to articulate it correctly, but his influence is being, like, I don't know, how would you say that? Like just, I don't know, that he would influence others. And so what does it mean to you to be obedient to the Lord in this, to where you send out this arrow and he's supposed to go influence the world for what? And so what would you say in the minor league clubhouse or in the journey? What did it mean for you to be influenced by a man that loved the Lord and that was serious about his craft and wanted to honor the contract and all of those things? Like, talk to me a little bit about those guys in your life.
Well, I think the one thing that you hope for is that that he would go out and continue to be a good teammate, be a good friend, be a model of what it looks like to okay, so he got drafted first, but he's also just one of the guys, and that he's a servant leader, and that he would be a good friend, and that they would see his humility and his willingness to do what everybody else does. And so I think the thing for me is that that people would be placed in his lives would help him grow his faith, and that he would continue to get more mature and stronger and be able to share his faith and be ready to give an account of why he believes what he believes, and that he would stay strong, and that keeping his life and his world focused on the right things, and that, you know, that his faith would be first and foremost, and out of that would come the work ethic and his love for others and his joy and playing a baseball, a game he loves, but being around people and building relationships and impacting others and how he treats them and loves them. And so I think that's as he grows and gets older, that he would be more and more like Jesus, and that he would be just, you know, a mature man of God. And so I think that's my hope and prayer for him.
Absolutely. And so just to finish out this conversation, there's a couple things that are on my mind. And so talk to me about the highs of the minor league experience, because I loved the minor leagues. And so what was your favorite part about the minor leagues? Because he's heading into the minor leagues. Like just so you know, like, you don't get drafted and go straight to the big leagues. Like, baseball is different than everything else. And so you get drafted and you slum it in the minor leagues and you try to figure it out. Are you good enough to make it or are you not? And so talk to me about your highs of the minor leagues and maybe your lows of the minor leagues.
Well, I think the highs and the fun part is that you're all it's almost like a college environment, so to speak, is where you're living together, you're riding buses together, you're eating, you know, I think the meals are a little better, but you're eating cheap meals together. There's a bond that's created in living life together in a less than ideal place most of the time. I mean, there's the minor leagues have improved and there's some nice places and they take better care of them now, but I think that there's a college camaraderie type of feel of four or five guys living in a two-bedroom, staying up too late playing video games, getting up and working out together, and there's just a really cool lifelong bond of playing in the minor leagues with guys. And some of them you end up playing three or four, you know, in some cases 5 years together, and then sometimes you make it to the major leagues together. And so it's almost like a going from a, you know, in Jackson's case, an 18-year-old, sometimes you grow up with these guys and they become lifelong friends. So that's the highs. I mean, I think the lows are a lot like anything else that has so much failure involved, in that there's nights where you go to sleep and you question whether, you're going to ever make it, because it's really hard, and there's going to be slumps that leave you with doubt, and there's going to be times that you question whether you made the right decision to go pro instead of go to college, and there's going to be days where you miss your family, and there's going to be times where you're not sure what your swing feels like or if your stance is good, or so there's a whole bunch of that and mixed in, and that's hard. But I think that's also what makes it super exciting when you end up making it to the major league. So hopefully that's his story, and we get a chance to watch it unfold.
No doubt. And so if you're listening to this and you think about praying for the holidays, pray for Matt and I, as this transition is going to be difficult, because, man, we've loved being parents. I mean, from the minute that I held that little boy in Austin, Texas, I've been praying for his life. And like, Lord, give me wisdom and discernment on what are his gifts and what are the things that he loves. And let me have the courage to engage in the things that he loves. And I've been praying for that little guy since the moment that I saw those two lines in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that I was pregnant with Jackson. And I love him. I'm crazy about Jax. And so if you want to pray for us, pray for our hearts as we enter this just different rhythm in our life. And pray for Ethan and for Grayson and for Reed and what it's going to be like for Jax to be not in our home. And I think that parents that are just a couple exits down the road and they've already gone through this, you know exactly what we're saying right now. And it is different for sure, but we're very excited for him, and we're very excited for what's next for him. But we're also, like, you hold both of those things in, like, equally. Like, there's this sadness from mom and dad, but there's this excitement for what's next for our guy. And right, would you agree?
Yep.
Absolutely. And so if you're listening to this and you want to pray for us, we would absolutely appreciate it, because we're not nailing it completely. There's been lots of tears but also lots of cheers. And so we're excited, but we're also really, really sad. And so anything else that you would add?
No, I was doing good tonight until you started talking about that.
It's so very true. It's so very true. And so the last question that I would ask, are you ready?
No, I was done.
You were done. No, here's the last question. So what would be your greatest advice if Jackson's listening to this on some lonely night and he wants to hear his parents' voice? And so what would be your greatest advice to him as he navigates this very first year of pro baseball? What would it be?
Just to be in the moment and not get out in front of obviously you have this goal of getting to the major leagues, but you miss out on the daily joy of what you're doing if you're too far out in front of your life, if you're somewhere else, if you're trying to get somewhere else instead of getting better at what you're doing today. And I think sometimes we want to not cut corners, but we want to move past, we want to skip levels, as far as, like, we want to skip steps. And sometimes those steps to get where you want to go are, there's a lot of fun and joy and excitement and friends and relationships in those steps, that sometimes we forget that those are important steps. And so I think that's our nature, is we want to just go to the end point, which would, you know, in this case would be get to the major leagues. Obviously you want to play really well so you get there fast, but I think there's real wisdom in being where you are and enjoying the day-to-day grind of it.
That's good. We need to practice that right now too, babe, is we need to learn to be where our feet are and just celebrate with Jax and then go home Thursday and be with the other kids. We do have three other kids. And a bunch of dogs and a bunch of college students that are coming to Oklahoma State. So we need to practice what you just said. And just grieve what was and celebrate what is, right?
I was talking to myself.
You were talking to yourself. You're talking to yourself. All right, guys, don't be afraid to pray for Matt and Leslie as we enter this transition. And I know many of you are going through things that are difficult. And so seriously, reach out and we'll pray for you all. And let's do this together as a community. And we're so grateful you're with us in this journey. And we're very, very appreciative of this community of Table 40 with the Sports Spectrum Podcast. Anything else, babe?
Nope.
All right. Have a great, great night.
Thank you for listening to Table 40 with Matt and Leslie Holiday, part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories on sports intersecting with faith, visit sportsspectrum.com.